Listen closely as Adrian Rogers shares the importance of learning to love.
Did you know that you can die for your religion and still not have love? There are a lot of people today who are terrorists on suicide missions in the name of religion. Do you know why they do that? Do you know why they don't love other people? Because they don't love themselves. A lot of false cults are based on zeal, but not on love. A man may not fear dying because he really doesn't know what living is. And he doesn't know living if he doesn't know love.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding, featuring the profound truth of the gospel stated simply in the messages of Adrian Rogers. In today's wicked world where darkness spreads and lawlessness abounds, love is a rare commodity. As children of the light, it's our responsibility to learn to love. In part one of today's message, we learned that love excels all other virtues, and without it, those virtues are meaningless. Things that are meant to encourage, exhort, and edify us are as nothing if we handle them without love. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as Adrian Rogers shares part two of Learning to Love.
Now, three things I want to lay on your heart as we consider learning to love. And the first is the excelling values of love. The excelling values of love. And he's telling us what love excels. And he's saying in verse 1 that love is more valuable than oratory. Look at it. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm nothing. The world has heard enough loveless sermons. The world has heard enough showy gifts. So love is more valuable than oratory, verse 1. In verse 2, love is more valuable than prophecy. If you have the gift of prophecy, look at it. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith and so forth and have not love. Now, you may have the gift of prophecy and can split a theological hair in 16 equal divisions, but if you don't have love, what good is that? I know people have heaven on their mind, but hell in their heart. What good is that? And then he says in verse 2 that love is more valuable than knowledge. And though I have all knowledge, what good is it to have a right head if you don't have a right heart? And the Bible says we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, and we are to thank God if we have the spiritual gift of knowledge. Love is more valuable even than faith. Look at it in verse 2. And he says, though I have faith and have not love, I am nothing. Now, faith is important. You can't get to heaven without trusting the Lord. But what he's saying is this: what good is it if you have faith so that you can remove mountains and you can't remove malice? If your heart is headquarters for hate, then he says, you are a zero. You're nothing. Love is more valuable than giving to the poor, what we call charity. Look in verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and have not, and give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. We've often heard that you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And a lot of giving is giving instead of ourselves rather than of ourselves. And I could preach a message and take an offering and get some money from loveless hearts. And in heaven's record, it amounts to nothing. Love is greater than giving to charity. Love is even greater than martyrdom. He says, though I give my body to be burned. Did you know that you can die for your religion and still not have love? There are a lot of people today who are terrorists, who are on suicide missions in the name of religion. Do you know why they do that? Do you know why they don't love other people? Because they don't love themselves. So in the first section here of this chapter, he's talking about the excelling values of love. Love is greater than oratory, prophecy, knowledge. It is greater than faith. It is greater than charity. It is greater than martyrdom. It is greater than any spiritual gift that is love. Now, let's move from the values of love to the virtues of love. He tells us why love is so valuable. What are the virtues of love? Well, love enables us to be patient. Look, if you will, in verse 4. He says here in verse 4, love suffereth long. You see, love is not blind. Love doesn't see people as having no faults. Love is not blind. Literally, love sees more. But love forgives. Love forgives 70 times 7. Real love is not giving people what they deserve. It's giving people what they need. Love enables us to be patient. It endures. Love enables us to be kind. Look again in verse 4 of this same chapter. Love suffereth long and is kind. What is kindness? It is reacting to people with love. A woman told a preacher, "You have brought me to saving faith in Jesus Christ." And the preacher said, "Well, I'm grateful for that. I like to know how God uses me. What was it that I preached brought you to Christ?" And she said, "It was nothing that you preached." She said, "I was standing around when somebody criticized you to your face, and I watched you respond to that person with kindness, and I knew that what you had was real." Now, a lot of folks who are religious but not necessarily kind, that's the reason a little girl prayed, "Lord, make all the bad people good and all the good people nice." We need to be nice. Love enables us to be patient. It enables us to be kind. It enables us not to envy. Look in verse 4 again. Love envieth not. Now, envy and love don't dwell in the same heart. You want to tell you whether or not you have love? If somebody else is being blessed and you rejoice, then you have love. If you cringe when other people are being praised, there's no love in your heart. You think that somebody else's gain somehow is your loss. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 30 says, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones." Love enables us to be humble. A big head and a big heart are never in the same person. Look in verse 4, "Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up." Love and pride don't dwell in the same heart. Do you know why there are church fusses sometimes? Do you know why husbands and wives squabble sometime? Let me give you a verse of Scripture. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, "Only by pride cometh contention." Only by pride. There's never been a war, never been a squabble, never been a fuss, never been a division that was not caused by pride. Pride and love are in opposition one to another. There are no problems too big to solve. They're just people too small to solve them. We could solve the problem if we'd attack the problem rather than one another. Jonathan Edwards, who was a great preacher in the Great Awakening, said this. He said, "There's nothing that puts a man so much out of the devil's reach as genuine humility." And it is love that enables us to be humble. Love is not puffed up. And then he says again in verse 5 that love is courteous. Look at it. He doesn't use the word courteous, but he says, "Love doth not behave itself unseemly." It doesn't do weird, strange things. Manners are just love and little things. And even in marriage. Do you remember when you were dating your wife and head over heels in love with her before you were married and you opened the car door for her? Now, if a man opens the car door, one of two things is new, the wife or the car. Remember when you were there in the restaurant and your foot happened to touch her foot and you said, "Oh, I'm sorry, did I, forgive me?" And now you do it and you say, "You know, get your number 14s out of the way." What is the difference? What is the difference? Love can say please. Love can say thank you. Love is courteous. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. Love is unselfish. Look again in verse 5. The Bible says, "Love seeketh not her own." A loving person doesn't say, "Well, I know my rights." Bill Gothard has wisely said, "Teach a man his rights and you have a revolution. Teach him his responsibilities and you have a revival." What can cause us to forego our rights and take up our responsibilities except genuine love? Love is not irritable. Look again in verse 5, if you will, of this same chapter as he describes. We're just talking about the virtues of love. Love is not easily provoked. Do you have a hair trigger? Or do you one that just flies off the handle, easily irritated? One blot that stands out in an otherwise wonderful Christian is this irritability, this flying off the handle. When I was working my way through school, there was a deacon in our church who hired me to work for him. I thought he was one of the most wonderful men that I'd ever known. And upon an occasion, I saw this man get so angry, I can still remember it. He picked up a tool and threw it all the way across the room, muttering something that I would not want to repeat. I was so hurt because I looked up to him. He was a leader in our church, and I was just a young person. And I thought, how sad that this man is so easily provoked. And I've seen in my own life at times when I've taken my eyes off the Lord and gotten provoked, and the Holy Spirit has reminded me, Adrian, the reason you did that is because that's what you were full of. What spills out is what you're full of. We need to learn to drown insults in a river of love and learn that a bad temper is something we never lose by losing our temper. And love is not irritable. We're talking about the virtues of love. Love enables us to forgive. Look again, if you will, in this same chapter here, chapter 13 and verse 5. The Bible says that love is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Now, what that means is that that love does not keep a record. How many of you remember we used to have saving stamps? You remember those saving stamps? You'd go and buy something, and they give you some stamps, and you put them in a book, and you finally you get a book full of them, you go in and cash them in, you get a toaster or something like that. There's some people who still save those things, but they are little irritations. Your wife does something to you, and you put a stamp in the book, and another one, or your husband, or your neighbor. And then one of these days, you get a book full of them and cash them in. I mean, you just explode. You say, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? Well, you've just been treasuring those things up. You've been storing those things up. You've been putting those things in the book, and you become a collector of grudges. Let those things go. Don't harbor a grudge. Love enables us to forgive and to forget. And real love is sympathetic. Look again in verse 6. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity. Do you know what gossips are? Gossips are people who rejoice in iniquity. They love to tell something. And by the way, it's not an honor to you if somebody gossips to you, if they want to use your ears for garbage cans. Like a lady said, you know, my pastor said, don't say anything unless it's good. And boy, is this good. They rejoice in iniquity. They rejoice to tell these things. They seem to be glad about some injustice. They seem to regale in saying bad things about other people. And you tell them something bad, and they, oh, that's too bad. That's too bad. Is there anything else? We want to know more. A wise man has said, before you listen to anything about another member of the church, or before you say anything, you make it pass through these three gates. Number one, is it true? Number two, is it kind? Number three, is it necessary? Does it need to be told? Is it true? Do you know it to be true? Is it kind? It may be true. It doesn't need to be told in the wrong way. And is it necessary? Does it need to be told at all? Love, true love, is sympathetic. So look what we've talked about. We've talked about the excelling virtues of love. We've talked about the enduring values of love. Let's talk a little bit about the victories of love. What does love do? Well, look, if you will, now, beginning in verse 7. Love conquers. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. Love never fails. The way to get rid of your enemies is to love them to death. I was reading about a lady in her, she was 78 years of age, and she lived in Rotterdam in the Netherlands. Her name is Elida Huissen, H-U-I-S-S-E-N, 78, a Dutch lady. She'd been smoking cigarettes for 50 years, and for 50 years she tried to quit smoking, and she'd never been able to quit smoking. But finally, after 50 years, Elida, this lady, I quit smoking. And somebody said, how were you able to quit smoking when you've been trying for 50 years? And she said, love. Love enabled me to quit smoking. And so after 50 years, she quit smoking. And here's what she said. Willpower never was enough to get me off the tobacco habit. Love did it. Love never fails. Love conquers. And you know, if you love Jesus enough, you're not going to harm him, hurt him, cause him shame by the way that you love. Love never fails, it conquers. But not only does love conquer, love completes. Look again, if you will, in verse 8, love never fails, but whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, what's he talking about, that which is perfect? He's talking about love. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, he's saying this. Apart from love, all these gifts that you've been using as toys, they're just kid stuff. Prophecy and tongues and knowledge is going to pass away. And one day we're going to stand before the Lord. And the Lord will say, why should I let you into my heaven? And you say, well, I prophesied in your name. And he says, prophecy shall cease. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Well, I had knowledge and I was filled with religious philosophy and understanding. Knowledge shall pass away. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Well, I had the gift of tongues, and I said many wonderful things. I didn't understand any of them, but I said many wonderful things. The tongues shall cease. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Again, the question, why should I let you into my heaven? I've been saved by grace. I've been born again. My heart is filled with love for you, my Lord, my Father, and my fellow man. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. Love conquers, love completes, and friend, love continues. Look in verses 12 and 13. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. You see, one of these days faith will be unnecessary. When I stand before Jesus and see him face to face, faith will turn to sight. A Christian of yesteryear was named Augustine. We call him Augustine. St. Augustine one time is reported to have said this, Lord, thou hast declared that no man shall see thy face and live. Then let me die that I may see thee. What he wanted his faith to turn to sight that he might see the Lord. Faith will turn to sight and hope will turn to reality. One of these days, all the things that we hope for, and hope is assurance based on the Word of God, will turn to reality. But love will go on and on and on and on throughout all eternity. There was a martyr who was dying at the stake. He was being burned for his faith. And he said, as the flames crept up around him, farewell, all the world. Goodbye, faith. Farewell, hope. Welcome, love, as he stepped over into heaven. Now, I'm finished. But no one Adrian or you or anyone else can exercise his or her spiritual gift as he or she ought unless we're filled with love. And you're not going to be filled with love until you have evaluated, appreciated, and appropriated the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Only Jesus can put this kind of love in your heart. And you know the mark to me of a born-again Christian is a genuine love for Jesus and a love for people. And the Apostle John says, if a man love not his brother whom he's seen, how can he love God whom he's not seen? But the Apostle Paul says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So the only way that you can have true love in your heart is to have the Holy Spirit in your heart. The only way that you can have the Holy Spirit in your heart is to be saved. And the only way that you can be saved is to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You can do that by receiving the gift of God's love. For the Bible says, God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us even while we were sinners. Pray this prayer, dear God, I am a sinner. My sin deserves judgment, but I need and I want mercy. Jesus, You died to save me. You promised to save me if I would trust You. I do trust You. I believe on You. I believe that You paid for my sin with Your blood on the cross. Thank You for doing that. Thank You for taking my place. I believe that God raised You from the dead. I literally believe that. I believe it literally happened. I believe that You are the Son of God. Once and for all, now and forever, I trust You to save me. Forgive my sin. Cleanse me. Come into my life and help me, Lord Jesus, never, ever, ever to be ashamed of You. In Your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And if you prayed just now to receive Jesus, we would love to celebrate with you and invite you to our Find God's Love page at the website. There you'll discover answers you may need about your newfound faith. Go to lwf.org/radio and click on the tab that says Find God's Love. Welcome to His forever family. We can't wait to hear from you today. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message in its entirety, call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. Mention the title, Learning to Love. This message is also part of the insightful series, Unwrapping Your Spiritual Gift. For that complete four-message collection, call 877-LOVE-GOD. Or you can order online at lwf.org/radio. Or write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. You may not know you can purchase our new Bible studies, much like this message, in that online store. For more, go to lwf.org/radio. Are you learning to love, which excels all other virtues, enables the fruit of the Spirit, and endures all things? We're so glad you joined us for today's message, and we hope you'll tune in next time for more from Adrian Rogers, right here on Love Worth Finding. Speaking of love, we loved reading what this listener commented on a recent social media post. I'm so thankful that Pastor Rogers' legacy lives on and that his belief in God the Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Spirit can be felt even today. Thank you, Pastor. You know, at Love Worth Finding, our mission is to draw people to Jesus and help believers grow deeper in their faith. To thank you for your gift of support right now, we'd love to send you our new More Than Conquerors Bible study. The book of Romans can be for you what it was for the early church, a solid word for an unsure age. In this 8-week study, Adrian Rogers examines Paul's letter to the believers of Rome to show us how to live in the victory the Lord has given. Request this resource when you call with a gift at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. Or give online at lwf.org/radio.